Have you ever been depressed? You're not alone. Millions of people struggle with depression of varying severity. And for them and those who support them, any progress in fighting this often crippling mental illness is welcome news. Philip William Gold brings such news in his new book, Breaking Through Depression, A Guide to the Next Generation of Promising Research and Revolutionary New Treatments. Philip is a psychiatrist who studied depression for decades and explores the intersection of genetics, brain function, and life experience. In his book, he describes remarkable new approaches to depression, from the use of psychedelic drugs, to low-energy lasers, to medications custom-tailored to your individual genome. Here's Philip with five of his big ideas.
Hello, my name is Dr. Philip William Gold. My book is entitled Breaking Through Depression, A Guide to the Next Generation of Promising Research and Revolutionary New Treatments. It comprehensively presents up-to-the-minute information about the recent revolution in our new understanding of the mechanisms underlying depressive illness. It details information about the mechanism of action of 30 new drugs in development based on these new findings. It explains the relationship between stress and depression, and it provides a model elucidating the biological context for the efficacy of psychotherapy. I shall organize this material into five main points. By way of introduction, I would like to add that although my initial training was in psychoanalytically oriented psychotherapy, I have been a laboratory chief at the NIH Clinical Center and have spent the last 48 years there studying the neurobiological basis of depressive illness. I've written over 400 scientific articles that have been quoted by over 65,000 other publications. James Billington, the former Librarian of Congress, appointed me to the 14-member Library of Congress Council of Scholars, and I have participated in the MacArthur Foundation Medical Network. I received an honorary doctorate from the University of Athens Medical University and am a distinguished alumnus of the Duke University School of Medicine. I'm also an overseas fellow of the British Royal Society of Medicine. I have won numerous national and international prizes for my research and delivered honorary lectures at institutions such as Harvard University and the Japan Foundation. The first insight provides an overview of the evolution in my thinking about depressive illness, which dates back almost over 60 years. As a college student in the 1960s, I majored in English. When I decided to go to medical school, I did so with the intention of training in psychiatry. My wish to study psychiatry reflected a belief that it represented a form of applied literature where what I came to understand about the world could be expressed therapeutically. What good was our knowledge, I wondered, if we couldn't help someone who had lost the will to live to find a way back into the world. Even if I would never understand the meaning of life, I knew that pain mattered. We all experience pain, and that a purposeful and worthy goal is to attempt in its alleviation. For these reasons, I chose to pursue training in psychotherapy in the treatment of depression. As I sought to help my patients work through their struggles with depressive illness, it became increasingly clear to me that although depression was certainly related to painful memories, life stresses, and traumatic experiences, there were biological factors that we needed to take into account as well. Data emerging at this time indicated that there were genetic components to depression. We also knew that hormonal disturbances could trigger depressive episodes, which resolved when the hormonal disturbances were corrected. Moreover, cyclical patterns of depression seemed to involve alterations in biological rhythms. I saw that if we were going to truly understand what depression was about, I needed to learn more about these underlying biological changes. The second insight provides an introduction to recent concepts regarding the revolutionary findings regarding our knowledge of the biological foundations of depression. Recent research has revealed exciting new data that revolutionizes our understanding of the pathologic brain mechanisms that are responsive for depressive illness. We now know that depression is a neurodegenerative disease, with loss of tissue in many key sites in the stress system that encode the overall syndrome of depression. This research has led to the development of a new generation of rapid-acting antidepressants that work within hours rather than weeks in depressed patients to ameliorate structural brain abnormalities and multiple other biological deficits. While this is certainly good news, the bad news is that depression is a far worse illness than we had previously suspected. It is not only associated with widespread damage and destruction of brain cells that encode identity, self-esteem, and other key aspects of our humanity that are affected in depression, but also by inflammation in the brain and throughout the body. Neurons in depressed individuals fail to properly connect to one another, and there is a marked reduction in the birth of new neurons that promote the capacity to deal with complex, shifting environmental stressors. In addition, synapses, or the spaces that bridge nerve cells and through which they communicate, are damaged and decreased in number. Moreover, neuronal pathways become atrophied and malfunction. A third insight provides a description of the two major clinical forms of depressive illness, which tells us something about their biology. Melancholic depression. Loss of self-esteem and feelings of worthlessness are particularly tragic behavioral features of one of the two principal forms of depressive syndromes, melancholic depression. This form affects 30 to 35% of patients with depressive illness. Melancholic depression contradicts the meaning of depression as a suppression of thought and feeling, but rather is often associated with anxiety, especially directed at the self, hyperarousal, increased vigilance, and by bombardment and retrieval of a host of painful, negatively charged emotional memories of loss and failure that help define the agonized mood tone of melancholia. Melancholic depression is also associated with loss of the capacity to anticipate or experience pleasure and an increased expectation of harm. One of the key sites of neuronal pathology is an area called the subgenual prefrontal cortex, which loses as much as 40% of its volume and much of its function. This site modulates self-esteem, anxiety, and the capacity to experience pleasure, multiple hormonal systems, and the sympathetic nervous system. Accordingly, individuals with melancholic depression are beset by the dysregulation of multiple hormonal systems and metabolic functions. They also have increased inflammation, increased blood clotting, and increased levels of blood sugar to deal with the danger at hand and to preemptively protect them from possible injuries incurred in a fight or flight situation. These changes also occur during psychological stress, such as public speaking. Melancholic patients characteristically have insomnia, often manifested as early morning awakening and loss of appetite with weight loss. Depressed mood is often more severe in the morning than in the evening. Atypical depression. We know less about the second form of depression, atypical depression, which affects approximately 30% of depressed individuals. Atypical depression seems the antithesis of melancholia. Instead of an activated state associated with a bombardment of negatively charged emotional memories, patients with atypical depression feel remote from themselves, others, and their past. They experience chronic fatigue, loss of motivation, increased sleep and increased appetite, and often gain weight. Depressed mood is more severe in the evening than in the morning. Individuals with atypical depression fail to respond to some drugs that are effective in melancholia. The fourth insight regards the unequivocal data that depression is a total body disease that shortens life by 7 to 10 years. Depression doesn't just affect the brain and nervous system. Many brain-driven hormonal changes, as well as inflammation and sympathetic nervous system activation, lead to abnormalities in growth, reproduction, immune function, metabolism, and tissue repair. The heart, blood vessels, bone, muscle, fat, and connective tissue suffer damage, leading to the premature onsets of coronary artery disease, stroke, diabetes, and osteoporosis. All of this adds up to a theft of 7 to 10 years of life, independent of smoking, hypertension, or suicide. Accordingly, the World Health Organization has declared that depression is the second greatest cause of disability worldwide and the first greatest cause of disability in those under 45 years of age. The fifth insight regards the concept that depression represents dysregulation of the brain's stress response system that we depend upon for survival, and that 30 new drugs that correct the anatomical and biochemical abnormalities of the stress system are in development to treat depressive illness. In the hyperarousal of melancholia, the stress system is distorted and pathologically activated. and the chronic fatigue, increased sleep, and distance from self and others that characterize atypical depression, the stress system is suppressed. Stress alters the structure and function of the prefrontal cortex, the emotional generating areas of the brain, and other areas that encode identity and self-esteem. Because the stress system is the area that is principally affected in depression, psychotherapy is essential as an adjunct to medication in the effective treatment of depressive illness. Otherwise, environmentally mediated residual conflicts and maladaptive behaviors are likely to override the effects of otherwise successful antidepressant treatment. A new generation of as many as 30 rapid-acting antidepressants is emerging based on the new concepts regarding the biology of depressive illness. Often, within hours, they ameliorate many of the structural and physiological abnormalities in depressive illness. Some of these, like ketamine, are already available. Others, like psilocybin, have completed clinical trials and will soon be available. Anti-inflammatory drugs and those that promote the birth of new neurons or enhance connections among neurons are also effective, even in otherwise treatment-resistant depression. These drugs far exceed the capacities of SSRIs and other antidepressants, which have held sway for over 50 years. Conclusion. I have several goals for this book. I would first like to emphasize that in contrast to the years 1960 to 2000, when progress in biological psychiatry was slow and there were only a small handful of effective antidepressants, we have recently identified multiple new targets in brain for antidepressants so that over 30 new compounds are in clinical trials and in basic science studies. I've tried to illustrate that even though depression is a thoroughly biologically mediated disease, it is the stress system in the brain that is primarily affected. Since stress alters the structure and function of the stress system, psychotherapy is essential for the optimal treatment of depression. I hope to make it clear that depression is also a total body disease that affects much of the brain and widespread hormonal and autonomic systems that shortens life and fully deserves to be covered by insurance plans that cover other severe illnesses. Finally, I hope that this book adds to the growing awareness that depression is not a sign of weakness or inadequacy, but rather an illness beyond our control, and that surviving it takes courage, determination, and the capacity to bear enormous pain. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Philip. That was 5 big ideas from Breaking Through Depression, A Guide to the Next Generation of Promising Research and Revolutionary New Treatments by Philip William Gold. You might also want to check out our book bite for A Cure for Darkness, The Story of Depression and How We Treat It by Alex Riley. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.